I want to introduce our last speaker. I'm already getting great questions from you, which we're going to get to. As soon as our final speaker is finished, that's Ahmed Shihab El-Din. He's a perpetual nomad, multimedia journalist, now at Al Jazeera English. He's originally Palestinian. He grew up in California, Kuwait, Egypt, and Vienna. He's reported from various countries in the Middle East, taught new media at Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism, where he won his master's. He's a producer and co-host of The Stream, which is a web community soon to launch a TV show, a daily show on Al Jazeera English. Ahmed.
Hello. I know we're pressed for time. It's really exciting for me to be here. I'll be honest, as I'm sure many of you can imagine, over the past couple weeks, even months, I've been going around speaking at various panels, participating in panels, trying to build this show, which is focused around social media, and that's been somewhat of a challenge. But I can honestly say that although this is somewhat smaller than a lot of the bigger conferences I've been to, such as South by Southwest, it really is an honor for me to be here because I really do value the kind of work that everyone here is doing. And it's going to be a big part of our show, which I'll eventually get to. And it's an honor, as I said, to be here. But since there's nobody after me to say how humbled they are by my thing, I think I'll just get straight to what I'm going to do. I'd love to show a five-minute video that I put together with a friend of mine and a colleague, Ben Connors, who is working on our show as well. We created the video for a show called Empire, which airs on Al Jazeera. And the reason I want to show that video is because it's a lot more articulate than me. And I spent a lot of time trying to package it. The point of the video is to highlight, I think, what we're all talking about here, which is the ways in which social media, as well as independent media, can really, I think, revolutionize not just countries, but also the way in which we perceive each other and the way in which we connect to each other. So for the next 1 minute, before I play it, but thank you for dimming the lights, I just want to mention something about what Sharif said regarding Egypt and what happened yesterday. You know, I think this is just an anecdote that's really emblematic of how media is changing and how we consume media and how important independent media is and social media. So I obviously have been busy at this panel trying to meet people, but this morning I woke up and I saw something on Storify. Now, how many of you are familiar with that tool? Anybody? Okay. Well, hopefully I'll be more familiar with it since we're partnering with the company to build our show, The Stream. The whole idea, just very briefly, is to aggregate social media comments and tweets and Facebook posts from all over the world. Anyone can do it. It's currently in private beta. But the reason I mention this is because someone had created a Storify about the events that happened yesterday in Tahrir Square. And, you know, usually I would maybe, you know, watch, you know, CNN or some Al Jazeera or one of those TV shows in my hotel room as I doze off. But I didn't. And I woke up and I just quickly checked Storify and there it was. And there was one person who tweeted in particular whose name is I.N. in Egypt. And it came through on my tweet deck, and that's how I came across this story. And essentially, the story was just, you know, an aggregation and a curation of all these tweets and Facebook posts. I mean, I think there's a lot more to be said about that, but because we're running late, I'll just make maybe one or two comments after the video. And I know that a lot of you, according to Jeff, he said a lot of you want to know how you can watch Al Jazeera. Hopefully, I can answer that. If not, I have someone here from the PR department of Al Jazeera who would be more than happy to talk to you afterwards. So let me just try and sort this out and play this. I just let it load so it doesn't stop halfway through. I have a little anecdote at the very end of this that I want to read, which is a tweet from Sharif, because it's worth mentioning that I grew up in Egypt for 10 years, and I think he knows my sister quite well, and I knew him when I was in Egypt. And when I was following this for my job, which my job in December was to follow Twitter and follow Facebook and see if, you know, anything's happening. And, you know, in late December, about a week or two after Mohamed Bouazizi, and this also prefaces the video, a week or two after Mohamed Bouazizi, burned himself on fire, set himself on fire, I started to see students protesting and schools were shut down. And, you know, people in Egypt were doing solidarity protests as early as December, late December. And I kept telling my boss, well, you know, something's happening in Tunisia. And I by no means was like breaking the story. I mean, other people were doing the same thing. I think it wasn't clear. So this is hopefully going to clarify for all of us the role of social media. And it's just 5 minutes, so there we go.
After more than two decades of rule by
Tunisia's revolution has marked its place in history.
Tunisia is now a country in chaos.
But it didn't happen overnight. And weeks before the world's mainstream media woke up to the story, tweets, photos, and videos began popping up on the internet from Tunisia, warning of trouble to come. A fruit and vegetable seller from Sidi Bouzid had set himself on fire on December 18th, and suddenly, reactions on the Twitterverse were exploding. Following the hashtag Sidi Bouzid, I called up hundreds of photos and videos showing students protesting, police abuses, and sporadic gunfire. As the messages went viral, protests broke out across the world showing solidarity with Tunisia.
Tunisia unrest makes waves in Lausanne.
Demo hashtag tomorrow outside the Tunisian embassy in London.
A flash mob is planned in Berlin on Saturday.
The beginning of a revolution was unfolding, and the mainstream media was just beginning to catch up.
There are no reporters in Tunisia to tell us what's really happening.
About this sooner. Mass media has totally failed.
Terrorism equals lots of media coverage. Democratic revolution equals little media coverage.
Tunisia's government began hacking into and deleting Facebook accounts. Protesters called for help from hacktivist groups.
An unprecedented crackdown on social media.
Censorship should get in touch with hacktivists and internet.
We really need a local version of Anonymous in the Arab world.
And soon enough, another hashtag appeared across the networks. Anonymous.
The Tunisian government has decided it wants to restrict the freedoms of their own people. In doing so, the Tunisian government has made itself an enemy of Anonymous.
Within a matter of hours, Anonymous launched Operation Tunisia, paralyzing the president's site, several key ministries, and the stock exchange. The group also shared a cyber war survival guide, sharing cables from WikiLeaks documenting Ben Ali's corruption, tips on running from cops, and proxy sites to access Facebook and Twitter. The government quickly countered with a phishing operation, stealing Facebook and email passwords to spy on activists and obliterate online dissent. But tweets continued to spread, documenting a society's breakdown.
The internet is reportedly cut off from Sidi Bouzid.
People are creating barricades to protect their neighbors.
Students demonstrating in Qlibiya, 50 miles
east. Injured young man shot by police in his back in Kafsa.
For a full week, I watched the story unfold online, speaking to activists, using Facebook and Twitter as protests turned bloody. And on January 12th, with Ben Ali's regime on the verge of collapse, Time magazine finally found the story. But the social networks had the best coverage. A new power structure had emerged, and protests had spread to other countries. And government scrambled to buy time.
Algeria steps up grain imports.
King Abdallah of Jordan sacks government.
Plus free food for a year to keep calm.
But the anger had already rooted itself inside Arab minds. Through social networks, Egyptians had begun drawing connections in late December.
Egyptians should copy Tunisia revolt.
Toppling their dictator. That will start a chain reaction in the Arab
world. Tunisia solidarity demo on Sunday.
Inspired by Tunisia's success, finally, the fear factor had broken. January 25th, a public holiday in Egypt marking the day in 1952 that saw police back up the Egyptian people's resistance against British occupation. As people organized, they drew upon Tunisia's success, sharing pamphlets on peaceful protesting and self-defense. They made plans to circumvent police barricades, quickly capturing the world's attention. But Mubarak also learned from Tunisia. On January 27, just as President Obama appeared live on YouTube answering questions from the public, Egypt's president took the unprecedented step of
shutting down the internet.
But he was too late. The World Wide Web was against him. The accounts of police abuse and violence circulated online, including footage that the Associated Press picked up showing what some have called Egypt's Neda moment. A coalition of volunteers, organizations, and activists set up platforms to get the message out.
Egyptians, email me if you want to post info on Twitter.
To break the block on Twitter, use this proxy.
Numbers for legal aid and requesting lawyers. 010.
Even journalists in Egypt used their cell phones to send tweets to friends who relayed their messages.
Internet's still down in Egypt. We'll continue to tweet.
Shireen is safe. She just doesn't have internet access. So I'm tweeting on her behalf.
To stop any news getting out, the government went after the media. Journalists were detained, and the U.S. government, which had been waffling in its response, turned to Twitter to make their voice heard.
We are concerned by the shutdown of Al Jazeera in Egypt and the arrest of its correspondents. Egypt must be open and the reporters released.
30 minutes later, our journalists were released, showing that even governments can use social media to get things done.
Thank you. Thanks. Honestly, I know we want to get directly to the questions, but since we're running over a bit, if I could make a couple comments about why we showed that video and a little bit about the stream. I think for me, on a personal level, as a human being, but also as a journalist, it was extremely difficult to see what was happening in the Arab world, especially at the beginning, because it was very confusing. Because we didn't really understand where this would all lead, and I think that's still something that's a pressing issue for all of us. But one thing that I think is important, even though this, makes a case for how central a role social media played, I think it's important, as Sharif said, it doesn't matter what we call these things. And for a couple weeks after the revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt happened, there was a lot of, I think, wasting of time talking about, should we call this a Jasmine revolution, should we call it a Twitter revolution? I mean, honestly, who cares? The issue is, or the more important thing, I think, is that we learned some lessons from what happened. There have been generations before who have been dissatisfied, as Sharif said. These have been long, pressing issues, poverty, oppression, unemployment, lots of things. And essentially, I think it's important that we learn the lesson, and for me, the main lesson is that the democratization of media, or the democratization of the Arab world, or the potential democratization of any part of the world for that matter, is directly related to the democratization of media. And I think that's also part of the reason why we're all here. And even though this video is, aired on Al Jazeera, I'll quickly mention that, this was me and a friend, and a colleague named Ben, who did it on a laptop, alone, sourcing tweets from people who we had been following. And it was edited not in an edit bay, it was done on a laptop in about 2 to 3 days. Shows you how talented this kid is. But also, I think I just wanted to quickly mention that, 70% of people in the Arab world are under 29. I think that's something really important to highlight, because there's over 40,000, blogs in the Arab world that are updated every day and that are extremely relevant for the online community there. And there are a couple of facts that I just wanted to quickly throw out. Because everyone talks about, well, what role did social media play in these revolutions? I think what the role it played is, as again some of the panelists mentioned, it just served as an accelerator and it amplified the revolutions. They would have happened anyway, just like even the Gutenberg press did at one point. It's just each kind of era has its own form of social media. But a couple of interesting developments that I also wanted to mention about what's happening now as a result of this is, even at Al Jazeera, and I think other mainstream news organizations, but also independent journalists, you're starting to see that patterns that you saw happen in Tunisia initially, where people mobilized online, started to happen in Egypt and Yemen and Algeria and so on and so forth. But I think also within the media, you're starting to see certain patterns about how activists use certain tools to mobilize, to organize, to get their message out, and to do what they do better. I think you're starting to see news organizations start to, incorporate those in the way in which they gather their news, especially at Al Jazeera. And in fact, I think that's why I have a job, in the sense that, our talk show is going to be centered around these things, tapping into communities where there is already a very lively discussion about these issues, where they're very aware of the real issues that you don't often see on the mainstream media. And I know I'm running through this, so forgive me for being scattered. But the last two things I'll say is, I noticed the other day on my TweetDeck feed, or on Twitter, that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Egypt now has a Twitter account, and they're very active, and it's in English as well as Arabic, which is, I think, telling. I think a lot of independent journalists, there's a girl, I don't know if you guys know her, but one of our elements of our show is that we create Storifies, which are essentially using this curation tool. And one of the stories we've done recently, which I won't plug the website because that would be too presumptuous, is that there's this girl named Rachel Anderson. And I say girl because she's 26 and she's from North Dakota and she's an independent journalist and she was reporting in Egypt. And she used Kickstarter to essentially keep on reporting once Libya happened. And she moved to Libya, she traveled to Libya, and she's now in Libya trying to cover the Libyan uprising, battle, war, whatever you want to call it. From a youth perspective. And the way she's doing it is by funding herself through online donations. And it's incredible. We managed to speak to her on Skype from Libya. And, you know, I've spoken to other people on Skype from, you know, Libya and Tunisia. And, you know, me being unable to be there, I think, you know, is really, I can still cover the story. And I think so many of us can still cover the story, including Rachel. And I think that's something to highlight. Last thing I'll say. Done. And then we'll go to your questions. No, one last thing. Sorry. See, I'm not clear. That's one issue I'm going to have to sort out before the show. This is a tweet, for what it's worth. It's a bit cheesy that I'm ending with this. But it really is one of the tweets that I favorited, which I never really do, although it's a very important tool. And it's going to be, I think, moving forward. But it's actually a tweet that Sharif, or Jeremy, had tweeted while he was in Egypt. And I was following, you know, Shireen and Ayman and other reporters, including Sharif, because once the internet went down, as he said, they had to find friends who could relay the tweets for them. But this was one that I found particularly, it just gave me a sense that I was there. So I'll end with this. It's, and you know, Shakespeare, 140 characters, that's the whole vibe. Sun is setting, crowds huge in Tahrir, people have climbed all over tanks chanting, now they stop for a mass prayer, indescribable. And I think that's a testament to what the power of social media and independent journalism can do.